You are listening to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church.
All right, turn to Psalm 100, okay? Psalm 100. And it's just been a joy to be with you. I was talking to my wife last night, and I said, "Hun, I met some people to go to church because they want to." Now, that may seem like a little thing, but it's a big thing. You guys, you don't just get to get up in your comfortable whatever and comfortable car and come to this huge parking lot and try to figure out where you want to park. And you have to work hard to be here. So thank you so much for being here. And the weather, it's just, I love snow. You know, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. It reminds me of God's goodness there. Have you ever wondered what people will remember about you? Parents, when your kids go off to college and they're talking with their friends, what will they remember about you? Some of you that are grandparents and your grandkids get with their little friends and they start talking about their grandpas or their papas or their grandmas, what do they say about you? You know, I all the way through school, some of you remember some teachers that you had, right? And I do. I remember in kindergarten, I remember that I don't remember because I literally got kicked out of kindergarten. I really did. I wouldn't listen. I was just kind of out of control. Today, they put letters to that today, but back then I was just a mess. Mrs. Young was my first grade teacher. She was at least 130 years old. I never could figure out why they called her Mrs. Young. Third grade, her name was Mrs. Brader, and I had my mouth washed out with soap because I called her Brader Potato. Mrs. Thomas in fifth grade, all I do is remember this. I remember two things. One, she says, don't waste money buying Kleenex. Toilet paper is much cheaper. So she kept a roll of toilet paper on her desk in case she had to blow your nose. But right before recess, she would always read to us from Gulliver's Travels. And she made it so real, you know, you could see the Lilliputians and all that. Let's see, seventh grade. Her name was Miss Valveris. I was 12, she was 22. I knew it would work out, okay? I was so in love with her. She was a beautiful teacher. She taught chorus. And I still remember I joined the chorus. Now, I went to public high school, pretty big public high school. It was very rural. But in our chorus, we had about 230 members. That's 225 girls and 5 boys whose voices hadn't changed yet, okay? And I joined chorus just so I could stare at her. But then one time, I also wrestled in high school, and we had to sing this song and had these little flashlights. And we were singing, "Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer." And then I got mocked in the hallway by going, "Glimmer, glimmer," so I had to leave that. Mr. Rockich was in ninth grade, and he was very perceptive because I was one of those kids that I didn't purposely try to get in trouble, but I was always in trouble. And Mr. Rockich, believe it or not, before lunch, paddled me, pulled me into the room, and I got paddled. Back then they paddled, okay, hands on chalkboard. I got paddled, listen, for having my shirt tail out. Things have changed. Right after lunch, I got paddled the second day by the same teacher for running down the hall. Couldn't run down the hall. Classes ended, school ended around 3 at 2:30. I got paddled the third time the same day from the same teacher for running down the hall with my shirt tail out. Okay, so it was my fault. Mrs. White Knight, she taught typing in 10th grade. And I still remember, now back then we didn't have electric typewriters, so we were typing, and you weren't allowed to look down at your hands, you know, so you could learn how to type. She walked around with one of those rulers with a little metal strip, go whack! She wouldn't, she'd whack your hands if she caught you looking down. So I, to this day, I'm scared to look down at my hands, okay? Mr. Spade was the geometry teacher in 11th grade, and Mr. Spade had a glass eye. And he'd give a quiz or something, and you see him up there, and he'd just kind of going like, what was that? I'm not kidding. He'd reach in and pull that thing out. He'd stick it in his mouth and wash it off and stick it back in. I am not kidding you. I don't remember anything about geometry, but I remember that, okay? I went to college, and I wasn't raised in the Christian world very much, but when I went to college, I went to Bob Jones University, and my very first class as a freshman, early in the morning, there was a guy named Mr. Poa, and he taught math. And he always started the class out sharing what devotions he got from Second Kings. And I'm thinking, how can you get a blessing from Second Kings? This was all new to me. But there was one more teacher named Jesse Boyd. Now, Jesse Boyd, he had convictions about things that weren't even in the Bible, okay? He was a man of conviction. But I loved his Bible courses, and I actually took an extra one every single, all 8 semesters, wanted that. He got that Lou Gehrig's disease, and he was a very, very, very big man, very large man, so he just kind of moved real slow everywhere he went. Well, when he was just about to die, he wanted to die at home. And his wife just got him comfortable. He was in one of those hospital beds. And she told me, she went over, she got him comfortable, was just going to leave the room, just looked over at him. And all of a sudden, Jesse Boyd, who always moved very slow, went like this. And he died. Now, why did I share all those things with you? Pastor and I were talking this morning. People remember what you are long after they forget what you have said. Even as moms and dads. Loving, harsh, kind, grumpy. What will you be remembered for? Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who hath made us. We are not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So we have to ask ourselves, could I be someone who is described by joyfulness, gladness, and singing? Will our kids ever remember us for truly living out Psalm 100, being known for joyfulness, gladness, and singing? Joyful noise, the word is ruah. It means to mar or to break with volume, okay? It's loud. Gladness, the word is simcha, the Hebrew word. And simcha has the idea of countenance. It's a brightness in the eyes. It's the smile. You know how you can look at some people? A little bit hard today with masks on, but you can look at people and you can see just the joy that's in their face. That's the gladness. Singing is the word rinna. It's a joyous singing. So basically what this is talking about, true joy is uninhibited expression of delight in what God has done. Let me say it again. True joy is an uninhibited expression of delight in what God has done. And your family knows you have it, and your friends know that you have it. Why? Why should our lives be characterized by such joyfulness, gladness, and singing? Look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. Why should my life be characterized by joy and gladness? Because God made me. And not only do I get to enjoy life here, but I have all of eternity to look forward to. Have you ever thought about the creative ability of God? I'm not smart. I'm really not smart, but I do know how to Google. And if you know how to Google, you can be really smart. The world in which we live is an amazing and wondrous place. It defies evolutionary explanation. It's home to a cheetah cat that can run 70 miles an hour, insects that could sleep for 17 years straight, and an 8-armed ink-shooting octopus that can eat its own arms and grow new ones. Guys, we'd never have to carry a lunch. We'd always have something to eat, okay? How about the bombardier beetle, tiny little insect armed with a very impressive defense system? Whenever threatened by enemy attack, this spirited little beetle blasts irritating and odious gases about 212 degrees Fahrenheit out of 2 tailpipes into the would-be aggressor. The beetle makes his explosive by mixing together 2 very dangerous chemicals, okay? He adds an inhibitor, which prevents the chemicals from exploding. One attack, the beetle at precisely the right time adds the anti-inhibitor, which knocks out the inhibitor and creates a violent explosion into the face of his enemy. Now, if you believed in evolution, it would take him years to get the timing down. He kept blowing himself up, you know? He wouldn't be able to handle it. The sea slug lives along the seacoast within the tidal zone, and it eats primarily sea anemones. Sea anemones are equipped with thousands of small stinging cells that explode at the slightest touch, plunging poisoned harpoons into the would-be intruders. The intruder is paralyzed, drawn into the anemone's stomach, and digested. Although it's very impressive, the remarkable sea slug, nevertheless, is able to eat the anemone without being stung, exploding the stinging cells or digesting it. In fact, it grabs a hold of all those little harpoons and pulls them and puts them in a pouch. And it saves them and uses them for when it's attacked by somebody else. Now, folks, if God will do that for a bug and a slug, just think of what he does for us. Like, take, for instance, your eye. Automatic aim, automatic aperture, can focus on a tiny hair or a mountain in the distance. And every night when we go to bed, he sends a complete maintenance crew in to clean it up and get it ready for the next day. Your DNA, anybody know what that stands for? Anybody can spell what it stands for? Okay. Your DNA, it is actually, these things are dependent upon it. Ready? It determines the arrangement of 206 bones, 600 muscles, 10,000 auditory nerve fibers, 2 million optic nerve fibers, 100 billion nerve cells, 400 billion feet of blood vessels and capillaries, and it can fit on a teaspoon. Now, what I'm saying is, God made me. It is God who has made us and not we ourselves. Here is what God actually did a long, long time ago, according to Psalm 139. God went into his workshop and he started making us. And he got all the chromosomes and all the genes. By the way, did you hear what the one chromosome said to the other chromosome? Do these genes make me look fat? Anyway, he got all this stuff together, okay? And as he put them together, he made you. And he gave you the color of your eyes and the texture of your hair and your ability to sing or to work with your hands or to lead. God made you just the way you are, okay? And you know what we do? We stand in front of a mirror and we complain about how God made us or what he didn't give us or what talent. I'm telling you, folks, God made you. You're created by God, but not just for this earth. You're created to spend forever and forever in heaven. You really, really are, okay? Number one, because God made me. Now look at the end of verse 3. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Why should my life be characterized by joy and happiness and singing? Number one, because God made me. Say it with me. Because God made me. Number two, because God saved me. Say it with me. Because God saved me. Do you remember that day? Do you remember the day that you trusted Christ? You were overwhelmed with your wickedness and you knew you were a sinner and you wanted God to forgive you. And you cried out to him, and thankfully you're around friends or family that would teach you that Jesus is the only way. It is wonderful to know that we are truly, truly saved. I pity those who do not know Christ. I know some of them just volitionally reject him, but I even pity them because they will have all eternity to regret their decision. Yeah. God made me. God saved me. I love the little phrase, we are his people. His people. And your church I love. And I've been here before, and we did a couples retreat a couple years ago. And I love it because we have so many different nationalities here. But we are God's people. God's people. Let me tell you why this is so special to me. Again, I didn't have the privilege, as some of you, to have a godly home and a mom and dad that loved the Lord. And our home was extremely abusive. And I was one of those kids that held the pillow over my head when I went to bed so I didn't hear mom scream when dad beat her. It's just a tough home. My mom left us when I was about 7. And I was raised by my grandparents. Now, my granddad was a heavy drinker. He's an alcoholic. And it was tough because you have happy drunks and mad drunks. And he was a mad drunk, okay? But my grandma, she's Polish. She's only about 4'11", both ways. I mean, she was just wonderful, okay? She was great. And she lived to be 97 years old. And her mind started disappearing when she was in her late 70s, early 80s. She ended up in a nursing home near Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania, okay? And anytime I'd be driving through Pennsylvania, I would always go to see her. Now, she was strong physically. And she'd stick her arm through my arm. She always carried her purse. And we'd march up and down the hallway. And I'd say, Graham, it's so good to see you. How you doing? And she'd look at me and smile and say, life is but a dream. I said, how's the food here? Pretty good? She'd say, life is but a dream. One time when I went, she was about 95 at the time. She had a new boyfriend. He was a lot younger. He was only like 92, okay? But anyway, And I said, I met your new friend out in the lobby. I said, he's kind of nice. And she said, life is but a dream. It didn't matter what I would say. All she could say is life is but a dream. But we went into there was like a meeting room they had, and they had a piano there. And where the piano was, my son was with me one of the trips. I said, Josh, sit down. Why don't you play one of Graham's favorite songs? So he started to play Amazing Grace, and her eyes lit up. And when she was young, she played the piano. She started going like this. And she thought she played. And when we got done, I said, Graham, you did great. And she looked at me and she said, life is but a dream. I said, Josh, play her all-time favorite song, How Great Thou Art. So he started to play, and I'm not a great singer, but I thought, I'm going to sing to her. I held her hands, and as he started to play, I just started singing, Oh Lord my God. And all of a sudden, she started singing with me. Every single word, all the way through first verse and all the way through the chorus. And now I'm crying and I'm thinking, yes, God brought her mind back. And when we finished the song, I looked at Graham. I said, that was wonderful. And she said, life is but a dream. I said, oh, I know that song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat, but I like this song better. She said, so do I, because it has more of God in it. I said, Graham. And she said, life is but a dream. I only saw her one more time after that. By this point, she sat in a wheelchair and she didn't talk at all. And I still remember getting down on one knee and I held her hands. And when you look in their eyes, it's seriously like looking down tunnels of time. And I remember looking, just talking to her and telling her I love her. And all of a sudden, she got so frantic. She just started shaking. And she let go of my hand and pointed at me. And she said this, you're my people. She raised me. I was special to her. And oh, she was so special to me. I'm telling you, Christian, you are God's people. You are His. That is a personal possessive pronoun. Nobody else's. You are His. And you are special to God, and He is special to you. How do we express our joyfulness, gladness, and singing? Look at verse 4. Enter into His gates with what? Say it again. And into His courts with what? Praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Do you have a thankful heart? I led a kid to the Lord one time in town. We were actually watching a soccer game. And he plopped down next to me. We got talking, you know, and my kids were part of the soccer game, and I said, man, I'm a camp director at a Christian camp. He goes, what's that? One thing led to another. I gave him the whole gospel, and he looked at me. He said, you mean God would forgive me? I said, yeah. I explained it again. He said, how do you do this? I said, just talk to God like you're talking to me. And we're sitting on the ground. He crossed his arms, closed his eyes, put his head up. He said, God, if anybody needs to be forgiven and saved, I do. And he went ahead and prayed and accepted the Lord. But he didn't know how to finish it. He wasn't raised like you guys. He didn't know you're supposed to say, in Jesus' name, amen. Or as we pray, in the name of Jesus. So he just sat there, arms crossed, eyes closed, head up. I finally looked at him to see if he was done. He was going like this. And after the longest time, he went, well, thank you, and looked at me. When was the last time after a great service here at church, or maybe a precious time of morning devotions, you stopped and you said, God, thank you for saving me. I don't deserve it. I never did deserve it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for saving me. You guys, all of us in here, we should thank God for saving us every single day of our lives. Start your day out like that. Lord, I need you. Thank you for saving me. I don't deserve you, but oh, I cannot make it through the day without you. I can't. I will get angry. I'll get upset. I need you today. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His name. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is what? He is good. You say, yeah, but wait, Ram. What if heart attack or cancer? What if a wayward child or a loss of a job comes into our house? The Lord is good all the time. Because this life is not to make us happy. This life is to make us holy. And every difficulty, what do? When we run into a difficulty, we pray. Never ever despise anything that makes you pray more. It's the difficulties, it's the valleys that throw our dependence on God, okay? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Now, that's huge to me. Because remember, his mercy, he keeps from us that which we truly deserve. Got it? And you may have not thought this, but I'm just kind of dumb. I just thought one time, what if, God, what if like after I'm in heaven for 10 or 15 years, you remember what a bum I really am and what a mess I am, and you're going to get back at me then? No. His mercy is everlasting. It never ends. Okay? And his truth endures to who? All generations. Right here sits a family that lives in Long Island, New York. And next year, both of these kids will be teenagers. Wow. That means dad's getting old, mom's staying the same, right? Some of you older ones, you ever get scared that maybe, oh no, we're going to lose our church and everything's going to fall apart? Don't be. Because his truth goes to all generations. Every one of them. And I have a God that will make sure my kids, my grandkids, they'll know the truth. So, what do people think about when they think about you? Do they think of someone who's joyful, glad, excited that they're a Christian? Are you a happy grandpa or a grumpy grandpa, grouchy grandma? I don't know. But when things get kind of where they just get our spirits down, run Psalm 100 and start thinking, because he made me, because God saved me, I will sing, I'll be joyful, I will be glad. Let's pray. Father, thank you for everything you have given to us. So wonderful. And I pray that as we dig into your word this morning in our next service, that you will show us a truth that we know that literally can be life-changing. But thank you that we can make a joyful noise to you, that we can sing with gladness, because you saved us, because you made us. And we thank you that you've given us the privilege to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church. We are conveniently located in Corona, New York City, and are devoted to loving God and making disciples. For more resources and helpful information about our church, visit studygodsword.com. We'd also like to extend a personal invitation for you and your family to join us on Sundays at 9:30 in the morning for a time of interactive Bible study for young people and adults, followed by an 11 o'clock worship and preaching service. If you have young children, they will really enjoy our exciting Bible-based children's ministries in both the morning Bible study hour and worship service. If you have any questions about the church or would like to learn how to have a personal relationship with God, please give us a call or leave some feedback at studygodsword.com. We would be thrilled to meet you in person and show you firsthand what God is doing at Faith Baptist Church. Until next time, may God richly bless you.